Shall we remain standing for prayer? Heavenly Father, we're grateful again that we can sing that you are here, Lord, in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire, knowing that our own prayers, Lord, and songs are based upon what the prophet said when he said, Lord Jesus, stay with us during this night. And we know that he couldn't ask that unless there was grounds for it, because no man can presume, Lord, that you have to have something from you indicating how far a man can reach, because, as was truly said, you're God who rules in the armies of the heavens and the earth, and no man can ask you questions or dispute your will. But, Lord, when your will has been laid up before us, then you, being sovereign, will see that that will is performed. And in spite of many conjectures and many ideas and wrong thoughts concerning this end time hour, Lord, we find that you sent us a prophet to bring us the truth of your word and to show us those events which are now transpiring in this hour, making us to know that this is the end time, and all the word now that's been has to be fulfilled will be fulfilled in the last generation, and all things pass away. Be with us in our study this morning, O God. May we only say those things that are true. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Certainly nice to see all the folk here again this morning, and appreciate very much people coming from a distance. Older I get and the harder I find to travel and don't do very much, the more I appreciate people coming a distance, and because I know it's not only hard on you financially, but it's also very hard physically, and trust that the visit will be worthwhile. Now, so therefore, we just greet everybody and can't call you all by name, but I had a pretty good idea after going outside last night who was here, and I hadn't realized some people were here. And appreciate you all very much. Also found out last night that Brother and Sister Davis had celebrated their 39th anniversary last Tuesday. Well, that's a little span of time, 39 years, and trust that if the Lord tarries, he'll have a good long or much longer time than that together. Now, we're going to have dinner together at Husman's, I suppose, or Husman's, whatever you call it, restaurant. That's on Highway 36, just at the east limits of Piqua. So what you do, you go south on 235 till you come to 36. And you turn right, and as you come into town, you'll see Husman's or Husman's on the left-hand side, quite close to a Hex kind of department store there. And I guess on the right-hand side is the East Mall. You won't have it hard to get there, but you should leave here at 12:45 at the latest, because it's a fur piece in there. What's about 30 miles anyway, 32? And you just won't get there in 5 minutes flat. So you talk along till, if you visit a bit, get your visiting over to get in your cars and get out of here at that time. All right? Now also, let's see now. I think Brother West told me that they're running out of tapes up there in Buffalo. That means Joe might be running out of tapes. So I guess, Brother White, you can see that they get 100 tapes to take back with them. That's per location there. They'll tide them over. They might want to duplicate some of Brother Branham's tapes, too, and that's very fine. Now, we're going to get right back this morning to events made clear by prophecy, and we hope we can finish it. And we don't have to do any recapping this morning because we stopped at the place where Brother Branham started to pray. Now, all we'll do is look at that in paragraph 136 on page 25. Now, some have those little booklets made up, but next time around we'll start another message, we'll get more made up, but they're not too many. I'm sorry about that. Now, Brother Branham there, let's see, is that what I want here? No, we're going to go back to page 24, and looking rather there at 132. Now, he said, now, while you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask something. You believe that God is here. Now, you could even be a pantheist and you'd know that God is here. So you can be a universalist, and you say, well, sure, God is here. And you can be fundamentalist, and you can say, sure, God is here. So this question is literally irrelevant in that light. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a personal presence, which we have gone into in dozens and dozens of sermons, and you can see all over Brother Branham's message. Do you believe that the things, it's, now notice right there, he's talking about God and using it, which signifies that this is the Holy Spirit, not the person of a man, like Jesus in flesh. Do you believe that the thing it's doing today is prophecy fulfilled? Now, what he's telling you here, you believe God is here, And he is doing something that has been written in Scripture for this hour, and that he is now doing it, and you are privy to it, that you know what is going on. Then he says, you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, right there, of course, they're going to say, certainly I believe that. As to his essentiality and to how he does things, the answer there again is wrong. If you believe he's the same yesterday and today and to ever and forever, in exactly what he is doing today, and that literally you're looking at the Omega principle of the Alpha and Omega concept. Now, I'm not a theologian up here. What I say is very easy to understand if you heard me at all and heard Brother Branham. Because Brother Branham has categorically said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you begin to look at our end time, you compare it with the original, because Alpha is Omega, and it doesn't really matter so much what has gone in between that men have probed at and men have viewed at as Christian history, but examine, is he now doing the same thing going on that was going on back there when he was upon earth? Now, that is the true understanding, and even more than that, in Hebrews 13 and 8. Now, you believe when he was here and manifested in the flesh for that day, now that's the day of the flesh, and he's talking about God, and the work that he did there, the works that he did there, were to be repeated again in this day. Now, that's a good question. So now you've got three questions in there that nobody has the answer to unless you understand what Brother Branham is saying. Now, you see, I just kind of doubt that. Well, you may doubt all you want. It's your privilege. But I'm telling you from experience and being around him and from knowing these sermons the same as you do, that is the truth. He is letting the people know that what they have thought concerning this ministry, which is in the Bible, which are events being fulfilled, that the people are literally unaware of it. Now, he said, they were to be repeated in this day. Now, I'd like to find a book in theology that says that. I'd like to find it. Now, I can tell you the only man that came close to that was old Daddy Bosworth. And back in 1953 in December, he pulled my coattails and he said, Brother Bale, I prayed for 40 years for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth, and there it is in that man. Now, the theologian didn't know that. He had no understanding of it. So, Brother Branham is asking three questions. Do you believe that he's here? And the answer is, yeah, but they don't even know what he's talking about. Number two, do you believe he's the same in Hebrews 13:8? Yes. And that goes to them essentially, Mark 16. That's only peripheral. So they don't understand that one. Do you believe that the Bible said that what he did on earth is to repeat it today? The answer again is a negative. Now the reason these are negative is because people have drawn the conclusion erroneously that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross and rose again, was seated at the right hand of majesty on high, and we've accepted, the Gentiles have accepted that one to be the Christ, and we see certain indications that are providential as far as we are concerned, such as miracles, some manifestation, but above all men's lives being changed, they say therefore nothing needs to be done. It was all done. They have no conception that God has never ceased doing. For the Bible said he made all things, and by him all things are maintained. The very fact that God is literally a janitor to his own creation lets you know that God has kept himself busy. Because he's a great maintainer. Now he said, the prophet said so, the Bible said so. I want to ask the question, what prophet said so? That the works would repeat. Now I cannot find it myself because I haven't looked for it. But I know that Jesus was a prophet. And before he became the Lamb and died upon Calvary's cross, though he was indeed the Lamb, potentially, and not in reality, until he was scourged. Because the keeping of the Lamb aside to test it for 14 days is the type of Jesus scourging and his imprisonment and all those things. And his testing. Now, he said it as the prophet. And he said it over in Luke, that the Son of Man ministry would repeat upon this earth. and that it would repeat somewhere down the line after they'd killed him and he'd risen from the dead. Now you ask yourself the question, when were those days to repeat? The theologians have brushed it off. It's very convenient to brush off the Word of God, but it becomes very inconvenient at the end time. We got to fail to see God in judgment. Now, the Bible said so. All Scripture must be fulfilled. It cannot fail. So therefore, at the end time, God is going to be present in a way that He has not been present previously, or at least for 2,000 years. Pardon me. Also, He will be the same yesterday, today, and forever in a way that people have not believed and understood. He will also perform the works here in the form of the Holy Spirit amongst the Gentiles. That's Matthew 12 and Matthew 4, both of those chapters, especially Matthew 12. He will do those works in the same, in the form of the Holy Spirit that He did when He was here upon earth in flesh. That is all Bible, but that is misunderstood Bible, and it is only understood by you and me because, as usual, it takes somebody to tell it to us. And we have the perfect case of John the Baptist, who was not a man of a ministry. He was simply a preacher. and he was able to identify himself and identify the presence of Almighty God, which God in turn verified that John was right. You'd need a prophet like that at the end time. Now notice, he said, all scriptures must be fulfilled. It cannot fail. Then he said, how did he identify himself? What's he talking about? He's talking about the God that was there in human flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ. All right, how did he identify himself? Now listen to what Brother Branham says. Now this is contrary to the theologians. This would be contrary to you and me, because this is a milksop. This is the same thing that happened to Israel. If you're the Son of God, do something and do what I want and do it my way or else. Because we don't have any faith in what you're doing. Your presentation, well, it's pretty good in spots. But if you could bring forth Lazarus, why don't you empty the graveyard? We've got some people there we love just as much as they love Lazarus. Why are you partial? How come? Pick. Now you say, well, I don't like that. I'm sure I'd be different. You're a liar. And I'll tell you why. I got Bible for it. When the Pharisees said, we would not have done that to the prophets, he said, you're liars. He said, you're the ones that did it back there. That same spirit, you got it now and you're going to do it again. How many people believe John the Baptist even thought he was necessary? That's a good question. Except for a Bible answer, I want someone to tell me off the top of their heads and off the top of their heart, in all sobriety and all sincerity, you give me one reason why Jesus needed John the Baptist, horse feathers. You think William Branham would need me? Ha! Very limited capacity, carry a suitcase or something. I want you to get what I'm talking about. Your mind as a human being doesn't get this. My mind as a human being doesn't get it because we got different ideas. We're like Ford. We got a better idea. Bunch of junk. Oh, they got good cars, but you know what I mean. See, your theology's got some nice people, but where do they go? See, let's understand the scripture. Look, we're talking scripture. We've got to identify somewhere. Remember, the Bible does tell that this Jesus is going to fulfill the scripture in a way that it wasn't fulfilled before. Let's go to Matthew 12. Look, we're not going to get through this morning, so forget it. It's just no use. You know, he's trying to rush myself, and there's just too many good thoughts in here. If the Lord helps me to bypass them, I can't do that. Now listen, here's Jesus' ministry on earth and God's ministry in Jesus Christ on earth. I am my Father, when the Father dwelleth in me, doeth the works. Okay. Verse 15, Matthew 12. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Now that's tremendous. Only one time I ever known that's happened in my lifetime, and that's under Brother Branham, and for ages past. There wasn't a miss when he took over. And charged them they should not make him known. That it might be fulfilled was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. Now listen, what has been fulfilled. A great miracle ministry that pointed to who he was that was doing it. Now follow that. Get your text based, or you'll get carried away with the words. Just the words, my beloved servant, my servant, that I have chosen. Peter called him elect. He's elect. That's choosing. My beloved, whom my soul's well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, that word judgment can be used in the term of vindication. Now he's gonna show judgment. When did he show judgment to the Gentiles? Now people are gonna misunderstand this and put it to the baptism. It won't work. Now he shall not strive, it doesn't say you, it says he, shall not strive, nor cry, neither any man hear his voice in the streets. Now that is a plumb, plain lie, if you're going to put that back in the flesh. Because he did strive. And if you don't call striving taking a braided rope and whipping people out of the temple, I don't know what striving is. He argued, and he beat him every time. Nor cry. At the last day of the feast, he raised his voice and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So that's not that day, right? Any man hear his voice in the streets. Why, he preached in the streets. The personal pronoun here. Now, there's a personal pronoun in the form of a man in the day of Jesus Christ fulfilling Isaiah, still a personal pronoun. He, God. Right? I'm not trying to be derisive, so don't think I am. I want to point out something here and let your thinking go. You say, why? I've had to let my thinking go, and if I can let my thinking go, you can let yours go. A bruised reed shall he not break. Are you kidding? What is a bruised reed? It's the ancient reed of the Orient that grows very high, very strong. And you use it as a staff, and you can literally lean on it. But there comes a time when that reed is so brittle, it begins to crack, and that's the time you throw it away. Because if you don't, it can split in your hand and cause a very bad wound or very bad slivers in there. What they do, they break it so that nobody else then can use it. What was the staff Israel leaned upon? Their traditions, their law, and he broke it. It's finished. Now it says, a bruised reed today, he won't do that. What's he going to come and do? Restore, my brother, sister. So you see, there's a different picture here. The smoking flax, he'll not quench. What is smoking flax? There's a little dish that they, a little lamp. You fill it with oil, and you put it in the window, and it burns eternally on the grounds that you keep putting oil in. And you just keep bringing the little flax up, and that is in the window day and night, so the wandering son or daughter can come home in the dark. It's like the lighthouse on the shore. And sometimes people forget to put the oil in. And so the little flax begins to smoke. And it says here, he will not quench that smoking flax. And if you don't quench it, it becomes a stink. And I'm going to tell you, Christianity has been a stink for years. So called. The oil will all but run out. How much Holy Ghost is there in the water baptism in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? How much Holy Ghost is there in just speaking in tongues? Or just living a good life and all of those things? That's not there, although all of those things can be there. I'm not denigrating and denying, but they're peripheral. The real baptism with the Holy Ghost has just one great reason for you being baptized. And that's for you to know the things of God. And out of the things of God, knowing correctly, will come all the rest. Wherein without it, you could be very incorrect, because even love can be simulated, which Paul said, let love be without dissimulation, hypocrisy. And Paul and Peter said, let love be unfeigned. So you can make a good show at love. Yet I would sooner have a good show at love than a show of hate. Even though there might be hate underneath. At least for the time being, it's a bit comforting, though you get stabbed in the back later on. It's not that you should mind that too much, because that's happened to everybody. And he says, he's till he sent for judgment unto victory. In other words, a judgment to victory means he's got to come down and declare a position to the Gentiles wherein there is a victory. Who for? Not Jesus. For the Gentiles through Jesus. So what's he going to do? He's going to manifest himself at the end time when the Gentiles will be vindicated. that this is truly God, absolutely, that the Israel crucified in the form of flesh, and he's going to take a bride away out of the Gentile church. And then, right after that, he will appear in a sign to Israel, and Israel know this was their God. You can see here, this is entirely different. But the Bible has prophesied it. Now then, how will you know if it is he? How did they know it was he back there? Number one, a man declared it. Then his ministry proved it. What more does anybody want? You say, well, I don't think I even need that. Listen, come on. Don't play footsie with me. Now, don't try to be nicer than God and say, well, Lord, everybody else needs it, but I don't. Hogwash. How are you going to know? You know, listen, brothers, there's no time to be vapid, inane, and insensible to the things of God. It's time to know something and stand on it. I'll get into a little more as we go along why these things are so. Now, there's your picture right there. Now, this man of the prophet, he said, how did he identify himself? By being that prophet that Moses spoke of. Now, what did he do? So what did he do? What made Israel respond? The response was because he could know the secrets of people's hearts. Amen. You're Simon, you're Philip, you're this. Woman at the well. Amen. The woman touching his garments. That made them say, thou art the Christ. He said, well, that wouldn't make me say it. I certainly not. It wouldn't make you say it. I have no doubt there. I have no doubt. Took me an awful long time to take that one, too. See, I've got a pretty high and mighty brain, at least I think I have. Oh, it's okay. I feed it on wheat and oats and barley, which is a chicken feed. That's what it turned out, chicken brain instead of eagle brain. I had to get away from the chicken feed to the eagle food. Listen, it takes doing, brother, sister. I'm not up here being some high and mighty guy. I can tell you flat. It takes some doing to get down low. To get down where you're not so smart and polished and bright that you cut your own throat with your own, you know, brilliance. As Brother Branham said, the Christian glows. There's a glow to him. There's not one of these glitters and shimmers like a hunk of brass or, you know, something like that. Now he turned and said to that woman, thy faith has saved thee. When Peter came up to him, he knew his name. Told who he was, who his father was. You say, well, that's telepathy. Well, not necessarily. And yet it's not necessarily God either. Because it says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, no man knows the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him. And so therefore you can, and because the spirit is related to the mind, you can have a little system of telepathy worked out. That's true. But let's see this fellow that deals in telepathy. Say, thus saith the Lord, and predict an event. Now we're on a different ground, because that means you've got a force that's in charge out here somewhere that you're in contact with that can cause that thing to happen. Amen. Now the thing is, what is that source out there? And when they came to Jesus, they said, why, it's a trick of the mind, it's telepathy. And somebody says, no, that's spiritism. Because the devil's controlling out there too. And then when they said that, they died in blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That's why the Missionary Alliance died, the terrible death that it died. I'm not against Missionary Alliance people. I just happen to know their history. Up at Nyack, when Pentecost came in, and people spoke in tongues, they said, that's the devil, and they died right there because it wasn't the devil. Be very careful with you, Bran. Very careful, because tongues are not necessarily of the devil. They're not all of God, but you better be careful. And all healings are of God, even if a witch doctor was involved in it. You must be careful, because the Bible said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He didn't say, I've shared my power with the enemy. He didn't say, I've delegated something. There are certain things that God does not delegate, my brother and my sister. We cannot delegate to Satan any part of salvation. That's why the Seventh-day Adventists made a horrible boo-boo when they said the scapegoat was Satan. Then Satan has a part of salvation. Now, Brother Branham taught that. I would not have been smart enough to know that. I'm not smart enough to know anything. You know that by now, but let's give it a whirl anyway. See if the prophet has told us, and we'll see if we can, you know, not just agree with what he said, but elaborate on them. He knew the truth. And the same lovely Jesus is not dead. He is alive forevermore. Praise be to God, and I believe in this evening time now, He's called us together again. Well, how does He call us together? Now, there again, you see, we go to the Scripture, and we come back here to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And you now listen, do you think people are going to believe this? Well, I don't see they're going to believe it. They're going to acquiesce in a minor sort of way. Verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets. And wise men and scribes. Wise man, a prophet is a man who brings the word from God, thus saith the Lord. A wise man can handle it, and the scribes merely can write it or repeat it. And some you shall kill and crucify, some you'll scourge in your synagogues, and persecute from city to city. Now that's what's going to happen. Why? That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Verily send you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now listen, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them their sin of thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Now, how did he gather them? He was gathering them by a prophet.
Amen.
Typing himself the great prophet, who will yet gather us unto himself. And now in the form of the Holy Spirit is doing it and has done it by a prophet. Now this, my brother, sister, is Bible. I am not arguing. I am not trying to persuade you. I am not trying to convince you. No way, shape, and form. This is a flat statement. Do what you want with it. But that's what the Bible says. Now go back in your minds in biblical history. And you will find that God always sent a prophet at a time of desperation. There was a prophet before they went into exile. There was a prophet as they were in exile. And those prophets were in contact with God. They had thus set the Lord. And God's program has never changed. People say, well, he doesn't use prophets. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You have just taken away from the word of God. Show me where they're not prophets. You say, well, I reason this way. I don't care what you reason. Show me. We're not here reasoning this morning, brother, sister. There's no reason to it. It'll always go against reason. Always has and always will. Give me one reason why it's got to be blood. Oh, you see, I know my theology. The life was in the blood. Hogwash. You don't know your theology. Somebody told you that. Right. I didn't know. You didn't know. Nobody knew. Well, you see, well, I saw that in the Bible. Well, how come the blood of bulls and goats was good enough then? To the time of Jesus Christ. Nobody can get in the mind of God. It's just in the word of Almighty God, the simple flat statement, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And you and I can go as deep as we possibly can go. No matter how great a prophet is and how deep he goes, you cannot fathom why God in the first place did it that way. Now you can tell in the second place, because he might explain it. But tell me the first place. Now I'll tell you what he said. With whom took I counsel? Nobody, so get out of my way.
Amen.
I like what Brother Branham said. You don't have a think coming.
Amen.
No, I really don't like it. But I can lump it. And I might as well be honest with you. All right. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now that's true. If they'd have believed John the Baptist, they'd have been fine. Then God could send that prophet for judgment. Yep. To gather all these people so they wouldn't be judged. I say, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you one thing, brother, sister. That could be a prophet because he said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. That's how Brother Branham could say, if you people knew who I was, you'd all be healed. Identification. Didn't make him God. Nah, it doesn't make him God any more than the messenger. The herald from the king makes him the king. The diplomat in the legate makes the person the government. No way, shape, and form. He just stands there in representation. He's called us together again. Okay. That's over here in Second Thessalonians. I beg your pardon. Second Thessalonians. The second chapter, you notice what he says here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. All right. That's Bible. How did he gather them? He did it by prophets. Right. Then there were men under the prophet, such as a fivefold ministry to handle the word. And others were like scribes. They simply say it or send out Tapes, printed page, or write it. How did he gather? See, there again. Well, you say he gathers by the word. Well, that's exactly right. But what if there's a wrong word? What is the end time? This is end time. It's known by every theologian. The books in the Bible are numerous concerning the second coming, more numerous than concerning the first coming. Whole chapters of the Gospels are full of the second coming. First and Second Thessalonians are full of the second coming. First and Second Peter are second coming. Revelation is the second coming. Diverse scriptures all through the New Testament and the Old, second coming. Millennial discourses, second coming. A little on the first. But here it is, second coming. Now we're going to be gathered to him. Now he said, be not troubled or shaken or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor letter as by from us, that day of the Lord. Not day of Christ, but the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you. There's going to come a falling away first. But it says those that are going to be saved are going to have the truth. And those that are lost are going to hate the truth. Now what did Jesus say in his day? If I had not done the works that no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated, both me and my Father. Where did the hate originate? Because of his authority. They thought they had authority and they couldn't do what he did. And he did it without their authority. Now the question comes, where did he get that authority? Came from one source of two, God or devil. And they said, it's got to be the devil. So they died. They're going to die at the end time. You see, I think that's conjecture. You may well say it's conjecture. I understand to be that way from what a prophet said. And we believe Brother Branham was vindicated, if we know anything about vindication. Now, notice what he's saying in his prayer. O Lord Jesus, come among us. He didn't say come into us, he said come among us. He's already in us. If we're born again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't pass us by. Well, how could he pass you by if he's in you? Well, very easily, because he's not all in you. Any more than you have just the Father's life in you, and not your Father still stands there. That's what he's saying here. Don't pass by. Come stay all night with us till that this night is over, then let us go with you tomorrow, that we might know you in the power of your resurrection. Now, he's telling you right there that this tomorrow of God is the resurrection which brings on the millennium. Sure, we know that. Okay, now he says, stay with us until the night is over. This is evening time when it's dark. Now, this is Laodicea, where the church goes into complete blackness. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and that word wretched is an object of pity. When could God pity a bride? Here's a lovely bride, and she's going to marry a fine young man. And we say, oh, I pity her. I pity her. Why, the women's tongues are hanging out in jealousy because she's got the catch of the season. Boy, I wish I was in her shoes. Got a lot of bridesmaids hanging around, and they're looking at the bride. Oh, yeah. And say, here comes the bridesmaid. Here comes the bridesmaid. They say, here comes the bride. Do you think that's a picture of bride? Wretched, miserable, object of pity? Why, this is her great day. But the Bible said distinctly, the Laodicean church and the bride in it, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, don't know it. What's going to open her eyes? Well, it's going to have to be some kind of prophet.
Amen.
Well, God's got to do it. Well, everybody's happy. God will do it, God will do it, God will do it. Aha. Uh-huh. How is he going to do it? Well, he'll do it my way. Well, I doubt that very much.
Right.
Because he didn't do it my way. If he didn't do it my way, I don't see any reason why he'd do anybody else's way. And I mean that. It can't be up for grabs, brother, sister. It isn't up for grabs.
Amen.
You see, what Brother Branham was doing here was bringing us down to the definitive. This is what God said, and this is what it is happening. You have seen it. You have heard it. Then get with it. Acceptation means wedding supper. Rejection means dejection. Because there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, I'm not making that up. That's Bible, brother, sister. Now, listen, he said, stay with us till this night is past. Now, the candlesticks, the lamp that John saw was one bowl with seven arms. Now, number one, number two, three, four, 5, 6, 7. And here's how it worked. 4 was midpoint. 1, 2, 3, 4, midpoint. 5, 6, 7 further away. So that by the end time, number 7 is the furthest from what was original truth in spite of Wesley and Luther. That comes as a shocker. But why should it? Now look, I'm not the only person here, I'm sure, that's read Luther and read some of Wesley. Now Wesley, oh come on, I haven't read much of Wesley and even much of Fletcher, his theologian, because I did not find it too pertinent. And I will say this, that to me, Luther was the great man. He's the great one. I got all kinds of books. I haven't read them all, but they're there. Now look it. I say this without flinching up here. I would like to meet a true Lutheran.
That's true.
Sure, it's true. They don't exist. I'm not saying maybe one person just might have believed what Luther believed. But Luther was strong on amazing grace and predestination. Lutheranism today isn't except little pots here and there, you know. Little cubby holes. What about Wesley? He never taught what they're teaching today. Come on. The Nazarene Church and those churches all came out of Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Pentecostal. Come on. They came out of that. They didn't teach what Wesley taught. Wesley never taught these things. I used to have little Wesley's little books on sanctification, those things. They don't teach that. So therefore now what God revealed at the end time, after the Reformation, or during Reformation now, has thoroughly gone to seed and has been polluted. So therefore, old bread, the original, was rejected, and this also is rejected, and at the end time, the Word of God says, when the sowing happens for the last time, Hebrews 6, the end is rejection and burning. Let me read that in Hebrews, get the picture. Well, let's find out, brother, sister, because we're not here, as I say, to play games. We've got to do everything we can to help you understand and pin this down in your hearts and minds. Now, brother, it says right here, brother Paul says in Hebrews 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to a conclusion. Let us finish the whole thing off. Let us see the end of consummation. Not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works. At the end time, that won't happen. People understand grace to a degree, but it's gone into disgrace. Of faith toward God. What faith toward God? See? Not in the Word, their own understanding. Of doctrine of baptisms. Now you got in the plural there. And there's all kinds today. Three times forward, three times backward, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, this way, that way, other way. Laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead. So, hey, do I got to put that aside? Yes, because they teach it wrong. Sorry about that. Of eternal judgment, that's taught wrong too. There's no eternal hell. Anything created is not eternal. Temporary. And this we'll do if God permit. What if God didn't permit? He didn't back there. He's got to permit sometime though, right? Now, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. Now, once for all means they were enlightened before, but never again. No renewed repentance. And have tasted of the heavenly gift. Made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, how far can you go? And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. All of this in this hour. And not if they shall fall away, but having fallen away. So therefore, there has to be a manifestation of the end time of a dynamic principle of truth that is proven to be God.
Amen.
And when people reject it, there's your 2 Thessalonians. Now, brother, sister, we are to gather to what this tells us here. Having fallen away, there's no repentance. Now, remember, the word of God for the last church age is this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. The zeal of the church of this hour is to cause them to be in some word, which is known somehow to be the word of Almighty God, and speak it continuously amongst themselves, and God hears. Doesn't say you're talking to God. Malachi does not say that. Let's go find it. Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Then we'll come on back. Now, I'm sorry to be throwing all this at you in big chunks, but I can't help it. Then they that feared, 3:16, feared the Lord, spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened. They weren't talking to God. It's God standing by and say, hey, he said, hear that conversation down there. What are those people saying? So he went down and heard Abraham and Sarah talking. And he went down to the Sodomites and heard them talking. He said, oh boy. Yeah, don't think he doesn't. No, he does. He's like us. In fact, he vomits. So I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's vomiting. People don't like words like you. I like Brother Brand said, I heard him on TV the other day. I never knew he said it, but it was really cute. He said, I puke. He said, you don't like the sound of it, do you? He said, I get just as sick when I puke as when you vomit.
Amen.
Oh, what a nasty man. He said, Brother Vail, I think you're crude. Why do you think right? I wasn't denying that for 1 minute. They say crude oil is very good, though. I don't know about that. Always they say crude molasses is the best. Unrefined isn't so good, so I don't doesn't make me anything just to be crude, though. You know, I'm just kidding you. All right. He said, here he heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. They'll be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. And they shall return and discern between righteousness and wickedness. They're the only people that have the revelation of God's word, and they speak it one to another, and they love it. That's in their mouths. And God hears that, and he said, that's my kind of people. Now, that's not denomination, that's not organization, that's something different, brother, sister, because God says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth at the end time. Now, what's in God's mouth? The sheep are not in God's mouth. Come on. It's those people talking for him, those false prophets, the churches, the organizations. That's what it is. Where's the mouth? The speaking part of the body. It's in the head. Who's the head? Christ. He's going to do his own speaking. When can't Christ do his own speaking, his own writing, his own everything? Come on, brother, sister. Let's get off that hayride stuff. You're in the jet age of the 20th century. My, how people can streamline their minds and their cars when it comes to science, so-called. When it comes to the Word of God, they get back the old horse and buggy. Mary sitting on a mule. Come on. If Mary was here today, she wouldn't be sitting on any mule, and you better believe it. Come on, I'm bringing you up. Let's come up to date. Not 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul was, he said, if God permits, he said, this is what's being permitted now. God didn't let it happen back there. It's happening now. Now what does he say here? Having fallen away, they cannot be renewed to repentance. And they won't be, because the last message, you'll never hear another one, it's once for all. They'll crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Not Son of Man, Son of God. How can you crucify the Holy Spirit? Now, the office is Son of Man, but the person is Holy Ghost. Oh, my. This is as simple as ABC once the prophet showed it to us. Before that, I never knew what he's saying. I said, forget it, you know. Put him in open shame. Shame him. Here God comes down to curry favor with the people. Like Jesus said, if I had not done the works of the man, did they not sin? But now they've both seen and hated me and my Father. You say, I don't believe that. Then, brother, sister, you make God a liar. I know this is one of the toughest scriptures in the universe. To tell a person, you turn down the ministry that God had in a prophet. I say, I don't believe that. Then you hate God. Oh, no, don't tell me. Ha, ha. Love dissimulated. Feigned love right there. It is not a true love. Because no matter what God would do, you are a trial child of God, you will accept your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And he turned around and said, they hated me. And they proved that he crucified him. He said, for which word you stone me? What word you're going to crucify? Oh, they said, hallelujah for the works. They're beautiful, but you got a big mouth. You make yourself over us. You make yourself be listened to. You make yourself God. You ain't going to tell us nothing. And I think they use grammar just like that. Poor English. No problem with English speaking many times with the hearing. Now it says here, for the earth to bringeth forth the rain. I mean, the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. How often is often? 7 church ages. And bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive blessing from God. They can speak with tongues, dance in the spirit. They can shout. They can manifest love, manifest gifts, do a lot of things. But they never come to that word. Now, it tells you categorically in the Bible that the word is rain. It is coming upon us. And the once-for-all rain. Every age has had the word come. Weiss translation is the only decent translation, brings out the epical seasons. King James doesn't do it. Prophet of God William Branham didn't know the Greek. I'll show you a word in here that he didn't know, if we ever get that far. But it just automatically brought it out in his prayer. Perfect with the Greek. It has to be because the man's a prophet of God. Does that be a Greek scholar? Fact. The Bible was not. God didn't speak Greek. I don't know what God does speak. I think he speaks every single language. What we're going to get in heaven is more than I know, and I care less. I'll be well equipped, and so will you. Don't worry about it. Adam didn't have to learn what the names of the cattle were. He just told what they were.
Amen.
Who do you think directed his thoughts? God did. Come on. As simple as ABC. You get hooked up to the Holy Spirit in the right way, brother, sister. Omnipotence is our portion. See? Now, here at the end time. At the end time, there is this sowing, and it'll be, if it's rejected, then it says distinctly, those that don't reject, it's blessed to God, receives blessing, but those that bear thorns, remember their seed sown, people cursing, end to be burned. But it said, brethren, we're persuaded better things of you. That was company salvation. Now listen, brother, sister, then what company salvation? These other things up here can. But the main thing is, do you believe what God has sent by the word? That is the proof of what accompanies salvation. You will believe that word. Evidence of the Holy Spirit. See, everything dovetails with what Brother Branham taught us. Now, he said, the night will be over. And we're in that night tonight. And go with us tomorrow. See? Certainly. Now, as I said a while ago, the truth in the seventh age is furthest from number one, the original. So then it has everything in total blackness unless God sends some kind of light, which is always a prophet. God's in the prophets. Oh, people don't like that. They say God's in me. Well, why couldn't he be in a prophet? Oh, you know the person that got in trouble saying, well, hey, God's in me too, was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You know, poor old Moses got so much work that his father-in-law said, Jethro said, hey, he said, Moses, yeah, you're a smart man, but I'm smarter than you. Now you listen, Papa. Because I got something to tell you. He said, you're just killing yourself with these people. How about you smarten up? Why don't you delegate authority about all a bunch of guys out there, and they'll come to you with the hard cases? And Moses said, hey, he said, that's a pretty good thing. So he went to God, and God said, well, he said, I don't mind if you do that. So he took the spirit off of Moses and put it upon 70 men. And no doubt, there's no doubt in my mind, because you know it's true anyway, that Moses had more spirit left in him than those 70. And God was not diminished at all. You don't diminish God at all. Ooh, no way, shame for him. God's still God. There's a part of God he never gives away. God doesn't disseminate himself to it's just that's pantheism. Well, it's pandemicism. Because you know, pandemic is a disease that goes from around the world, pretty well around the world, but people gotta get it. Pantheism, you can wave your arms and breathe them in. So we don't believe that. He's in trees and things. We just call it, you know, pandemicism. That's a new word they made up, but I think it's pretty good. Nobody likes it, Father Divine would like it. He's dead anyway. He made up words too. So Father God, I forgive my making up words. Okay. Now, so therefore, we're looking at this here. They're farthest from the original truth. And all these years, the truth has only been proved at. But watch what it says at the end time here, and I read in Hebrews 6, and what it says in Ephesians, the first chapter, 15 verse, or 70, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that's the people already full of the Holy Ghost. And it's not an individual gift as the Holy Ghost baptism is. It's a gift to the church. His brother Branham said, God has given. Well, he said, all America could only rally behind the gift that God has given. Which is God has given. The gift of his son in the form of the Holy Ghost. Now, he said it. That's right in these notes here. I read it the other day. I can't put my finger on it. Man alive, no. I got it marked out here, but... I tell you, just pick up some of those tapes. There's only about 12 an hour and a half piece. Just 18 hours, you can go through the whole thing like that. You know. Okay. Now, also 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. And that word shout is a military command, which in 1 Corinthians 15 proves it's a church order. God's going to get his church ready with Christ the head, getting preeminence. Well, what is preeminence? Preeminence is always the head. Sure, it's not your feet. Oh, you got nice feet. You know what? Let me tell you something. People do look at the body, especially men look at bodies of women, and they always, you know, try to visualize that the woman they're going to get is like a Marilyn Monroe. But, you know, that's all right for men to visualize that, but they never end up marrying one. You know, the first place you look at a woman is in the eyes, and she's got eyes like a scared cow. You stay away. You know, the songs of songs said, you've got dove's eyes. You know, dove's eyes are so pretty. You ever eyeball a dove in the tree, little dove sitting on this? They're so cute, they're so pretty. I don't like that mournful sound they make. It bugs me. And, you know, I'm not for minor keys. I'm for the little sharper ones. But outside they're cooing. You know, you look in the eyes. Where's the eyes? In the head. See? We're looking at, then preeminence is Christ is head. And what comes from the head? What he sees, he tells the prophet and he tells the people. And what he wants to speak comes from his lips. And what he hears also. See, there's preeminence right there. So I'm just trying to tell you this. As you look at body, always the head is preeminent. See? Always. It's in that mind, in there, that counts. All right. He'll come down. He's in Ephesians and in Thessalonians, first book, 4th chapter, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from him with a shout. And that, of course, as I said, tells you in 1 Corinthians 15, bringing the church in order. I preached that many years ago, but every now and then I relate to it. Okay. Now, he said here, till the night is over, caught away in a rapture, day star rise in our hearts, perfect revelation, the dead come out of the ground, that we might know you in the power of your resurrection. Now, nobody at this point knows the power of the resurrection, or they'd be resurrected. No. You have every indication of it by the sign of the resurrection, which is his great ministry. Oh, sure. He's here to raise the dead, but he's not yet raising the dead. No way. No. That voice hasn't gone forth to raise the dead. It's therefore latent. The same one with the shout is here with the voice, is here with the trumpet. That is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost, that is God himself. It is the prophet said. See? Now, we haven't come that far. Okay, keep moving. We might know in the power of your resurrection that your love and grace and mercy might be with us. O eternal God, grant these things. We know that only God can grant them. Now he's telling you right there, and I told you a while ago, William Branham could not pray unless it was the will of God that he pray a certain way. Because God will not hear your words and my words. He has to have his own word because it's what he stands behind to perform it. In the solemnness of this hour, that's time 34, let us say this, God, our Father, our flesh is a poor tabernacle for you. Now everybody will admit that until you cross them up. And then they say, hey, what are you trying to tell me? I'm not a good fellow. Well, I guess I'd have to agree no matter what you said about me, except certain things I might take, you know, a little option to, a little opposition. But Lord, let your sanctifying grace, now what does he call it? Your Holy Spirit, come now, cleanse us from every doubt and every flusteration. What's a flusteration? Well, all agitation due to lack of insight, where one cannot make decisive decisions. You get nervous. You just don't know. Every suspicion. People get very suspicious of this ministry Brother Branham had. Every line of skepticism, they get skeptical. That we might be free without one doubt. Don't add and don't take. Know where you stand. Come out and confess boldly, Peter, thou art the Christ, the same yesterday and forever. What's he talking about? The one present. There's something going on in a special person that is termed Holy Spirit, it. And he's doing exactly what he did in the days of the flesh. And you've got to recognize what he's doing, and it's so simple people can't take it. And they get crossed up and say, well, that's telepathy. That's hypnotism. Or that's the devil. Now, you can call it hypnotism, you can call it telepathy, and you get away with it because you can repent. But the minute you say, I know that's the devil, there's no repentance. See? Now you say, Brother Bill, I just don't like that. I don't like it either. But can the thing formed to the say that thing that the thing that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You see, you've got to understand sovereignty, brother, sister. This is not in your hands and mine. This is in God's hand, but for our good. In the psalmist of this hour, God our Father, you read that now. 135. We believe that thy word is truth, Lord. Now, I believe that he's calling that one the same as Paul said, who art thou, Lord? Let us see before we start this line, Lord, and make yourself known to us. Now, you listen to that prayer there. You think that Brother Branham is praying as a man full of the Holy Ghost with a personal experience like you and I have and say, well, Lord, make yourself known to us? Why, God's already made himself known. By our own evidences and understanding. Like you say, well, look, I maybe can't prove anything, but I know what I used to be. I'm not that kind of a person. Well, I can say that for what's happened to me in the last 3 weeks. I can hold a grudge pretty easy. Doesn't seem to matter anymore. Don't tell me I did it on my own, because I didn't do it on my own. Because I knew I was going to hold the grudge. Like a hypocrite. Suddenly I found I didn't have a grudge. Well, you do. Well, you walk without grudges. You don't cripple along anymore. Uh-huh. No more Mephibosheths crippled in the legs. Huh? Sure, that's right. I kid you not. I'm not lying to you. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you a fact. Didn't have a thing to do with me, but it sure affected me. Recipient of a gift for something. So you see, you can't take those things. He's not praying that way. He's not praying personal experience. He's asking for something for everybody to hear and to know, to find, that's going to be amongst them. And they're going to say, hey, that's God. Or they say, well, I don't know. I'm going to sit in the fence. You know, that can't be. Three kinds, okay? Make yourself notice. And as you said, as it was in the days of Lot, when Abraham, that called out group waiting for a promised son, Lot was down hearing a modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, which are good men, to that denominational setup down there as a nation. But Abraham was a sojourner without an organization. Just a little group wandering about through the land that he was to inherit. And the meek shall inherit the earth. Do you know that word in the Greek, meek, a sojourner? How'd Brother Branham know that? Well, he said it. He said it. You say, well, I think anybody could do that. No, not everybody does that. Everybody. But just seeing the point here, see? One day under the shade tree while they were sitting, resting. This is our relaxation. Sure. Second Thessalonians. Oh, went too far. Little book here. One is first chapter, 7 verse. And you are troubled, relax with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall reveal from heaven with his mighty angels. There's the picture right there. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to believe anything. Good. I mean, look, this is a free country, free white and 21, or free black and 21, green, yellow makes no difference. I don't care what your color is. We're also mixed up as pitiful. There's no true sauerkraut amongst us. You've got everything thrown in from hot dogs to sausages, meatballs, anything else, you name it. There's nobody here that's, you know, a pure Aryan myth that Hitler had. Hogwash. How many pure Jews are there? Out of what, 6 to 15 million? 144,000 maybe. Then maybe God could forgive a lot of those for not being pure Jews. Just happened to be in the election. You know what I mean? You know, it doesn't matter what the color is. But you're free. You're under a constitution that guarantees your freedom to a degree. Relaxing. Here's the picture right there. God came down in the form of a man. That's back in Lot's time, Abraham's time. Two angels went to Sodom, two messengers. God in human flesh, he was a man. Proof that he was. He said, Abraham, where is thy wife Sarah? A few days before that, he was Abram, and she was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, not Sarah, S-A-R-H, princess. And you called her by her princess name, the daughter of a king. You called Abraham by his name, Abraham, a father of the nation. Now, you remember the Songs of Solomon, the bride is his sister. She had to marry into relatives. What closer, better relative than the sister? Well, that's it. They were all sisters in the bride in Jesus Christ. We're all brethren, no women. But you come to type a certain way, then you have a designation, right? Okay. By his name, Abraham, father of nations. And you said, I'm going to visit you. Now watch. God, how that prophet's heart must have jumped. He knew who you were right then. That's recognition, see? The moment of decision. Now look, brother, sister, let's understand this. If Brother Branham is correct, and he has to be because the Bible says so, as it was in the days of Lot, and Abraham was there, the righteous escaped. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Will you destroy even one righteous with the wicked? No way, shape, and form. Abraham gave up a 10 because he knew if he brought God down to 1, and Abraham was that 1, or 2, and Abraham and his wife were that 2, God would say, hey, Abraham, sir, it's okay. Fine dandy. I'll not destroy you with those wicked, though there be 10 million. No, 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 no. God will not destroy. Now you see, his heart was just in the moment of recognition, and he was right on target. He made that decision. See, now no wonder he washed your feet. Now he brings that out, and you will notice that washing of feet is a laid aside doctrine. Yet any theologian knows that if you take the Lord's Supper, you're supposed to wash feet. Oh, they'll get around it, though. Oh, yeah, that's why foot washing is very, very important in this hour. Because that's exactly what Abraham did to God in the human form. And everybody that claims he's full of the Holy Ghost has got God in a minor way. You know, little microcosm. Like one drop of seawater is identical to the whole vast ocean.
Amen.
So one little drop of the Holy Ghost gives you everything you need, which is life. See, just like they tell me that you can pour a little bit of seawater in a fish bowl for the salt sea fish, and that little bit will carry him over. You don't even need a whole bowl. Well, you don't need to be all of God to carry over. You just need to have the seal of God. God's little bitsy life he puts in you, which is eternal life, see. Foot washing. Brought out all the food that he had, the very best, laid it before you. He knew that was God there. Then he said, where is Sarah? That's God said that. As if God didn't know. And Abraham said, she's in the tent behind you. And you said what was going to happen. You see, that's the picture. Brother Branham never made prophecies. God made prophecies using a human voice. He said, I wasn't the one, he said, that told those things so right. He said, I was just the voice that he used. God told it. Now, any prophet will say that. You put your words in my mouth, Jeremiah said. And she in her heart doubted. And then you said to Abraham, why did Sarah doubt that, saying in her heart, these things can't be, is anything too hard for God? Now remember, God rebuked her. She is a type of the bride. And at the end time, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked, just like Sarah was. Only Abraham the prophet knew. And here she is making God a liar. And him right there, look at that picture right there. Brother Brown said that supernatural picture. George G. Lacey said the same thing. Okay, God and the prophet. Not God in the prophet only, God and the prophet. Now, he said to the Laodicean church age, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I stop you dead in your tracks and say, you're wrong, 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 cut it out, don't do that anymore. Stop saying that. That's what Brother Branham said in marriage and divorce. Don't you get mixed up with your adulteries, which absolutely type your idolatries. Leave this woman for marry another woman. Leave this church to go to another church. Settle down. Find out where you're at. And if you're not where you're at, you should be, then get where you're at. It's still free country. Nobody's going to stop you. That's between you and God. Now you see, he rebuked her. See? The prophet is a rebuke to the woman type church. That's why he kept on telling women, you got to be careful how you conduct yourself and all. Okay, we got a little bit of time left. Now he's still praying. Oh God, now the punctuation here is correct. Oh God, exclamation mark, Jesus, comma, manifested God of the Word, comma. Now you could say, Jesus manifested God of the Word. That's not true. It's Jesus who was the manifested God of the Word. See, you said, as it was in the days of Sodom, watch this, the world would be in that condition just before the destruction of the Gentile world, the Gentile disbelief. That's the last church age, blackness. Here we are, Sodomites to the core. That means what's in the heart, the core is the heart. What lies in man is just one thing, perversion. And when you get to the sexual, you've got the end of it. Of course, everybody, the big sex authors, and everybody know who's that guy that started the original quiz in Indiana. It doesn't matter anyway. He wrote a book, and somebody else came along and wrote a book. Now women are all writing a book, and Dear Abby and Little Dan Landers, they're all in there. They got all the answers, and Reader's Digest got all the answers, and every place you go, all the pornography, this and that, and everything is great, is it? Yep, where do you see what's going to hit? This is end time curse on the earth. You don't think it is? Come on. Let's go to Romans. Everything runs in parallels. People think this is you're going to get away with this. They're not going to get away with it. It says here in verse 20 there, they learned to reject God. They knew it. See, the last time message proves Godhead. The church has turned it down. No excuse. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. But became vain in their imaginations. Their heart, evil heart was darkened. They see their reasonings. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's vapid, insipid. Empty heads. Idolaters. See? Sophists. Smart alecks. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in image made like corruptible man. That's right. Man's God now. So what do you do? Anything you want. Jack, any way you want. You're your own law. Then they went to birds and corrupted four-footed beasts, creeping things. God gave them up to uncleanness for the lust of their own hearts. See where it goes? Dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator is best forever. In other words, their lust led them to disregard God entirely and go and enter the pews, enter the pulpits, and preach. And the church began ordaining homosexuals. What more do you want? You say just one church did it. Oh no, a bunch did it. The argument still goes on. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's where you get your filthy magazines where the women are. It's the most stupid thing you could ever invent. You know, if you want to be complete idiots, that's the way to go. I'm going to tell you something. I can understand God vomiting over the church. I can vomit over this. I've got a very strong stomach, too, by the way. Poke your finger down my throat, and it might bite your finger off, but I don't know if it'd get me to vomit or not. I just got a very, very strong stomach that way. But I can't take this one. Likewise, also the men. Yeah. Leaving the natural women burned in their lust one toward another. Where does that leave the men? Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now down to 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, they that commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. Church says everything's okay. What did the big first sex book come out? I don't know if it's the first sex book or not. I don't know what came out, but I make my guess at it. They said everything is perfectly all right in the marriage chamber. It doesn't really matter. That's alive in the pit of hell. Men ought to treat their vessels, the women, as co-workers with them in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and as sisters and companions in Almighty God and not as some base harlot that they've got to work their passions out in all the time. The Bible distinctly warns men, it distinctly warns women, and it's a pity people don't smarten up. I know they claim they have this going for them, that going, their virility bothers them, this and that. Well, I know you can burn, and some of you deserve to burn, just put it that way. There's a lot of people burn, isn't going to hurt them one bit. The love of God comes in there some way, brother, sister. So understand it. If you can't love God that much, what do you got? I'm not running down, making something too light. I understand perfectly. I think I do. But there is no place for these things. And I like what the prophet said when a young man shouted. Well, he said, Reverend Branham, he said, you can say that because you're such and such an age. He said, I've always been this way from a child. I believe God has done something for his people that we don't have to sink to that degradation. The world's gone to it. And I'll tell you this, brother, sister, if anybody is doing those things, and they were in Brother Branham's day, and he spoke out against it, till some people thought that he was actually against sexual intercourse in the marriage bed and all, which he was not against at all. He was against what some men were doing, put their wives through, and I guess women put their husbands through. And it's just wrong, wrong, wrong. And here's where it is today. And it's going to get worse. Until there's such a spirit going to hit the world, people just won't know what to do about what's going on. Where did it come from? This very thing we're talking about. See, sodomy. Right to the core. In other words, right out of the heart. Now listen, and then you said that the Son of Man, now watch the term, Son of Man, which is always referred to as a prophet. Now, let's get this straight. I do not know if this is a principle that you must adhere to every single time you see it. The Son of Man always has to be prophet. It could be, I don't know. But remember what he says right here. We got to give this consideration. I can't tell you at this point. Maybe some of you have already studied it. And then you said that the Son of Man, which is always referred to as prophet. Now that could mean absolutely that you got to understand he's talking of that office. But does it mean it refers always at this point here? It could, I don't know. I take it that it could well be that way. Let's just take Matthew 24 and 44 where we find that. So that you'll understand. Therefore be also ready, for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Precisely true. Did anybody realize it was the Son of Man, the pillar of fire? In the sense of the word, the ministry was coming down, not the pillar of fire, that's not the Son of Man. But the river, no way. The prophet was there to reveal it. You said that this, the Son of Man, which is always ready to prophet, will be revealed in that hour. Okay, so he's talking about this end time here. And so therefore it is end time, we could well draw that in this hour, this prophet is mean, is meant. Fulfill thy word, O God, we your loving children, wait with sincere hearts to give us faith, Lord, that when we have the prayer line, the people will believe. What are they going to believe? Not just healing. The healing is simply a manifestation to lead you to what the facts are.
Right.
To who is there and to why and what the message is, if indeed it is the who. And this is an hour, what's he got to say? Now, people can't understand. A ministry like this demands an answer. What is there to it? I don't know where people are standing. Well, you could just say, well, Brother Bill, it's this way. You see, this man, William Branham, had a great ministry, so everybody could see it and say, well, we can do it too. That's what they said. Where are they today? Sorry, Benny. But I can't buy that. See, Father, it's evening time. Let the evening lights of the Son of God. Now watch now. Up here, O God, Jesus, who is the manifested God of the Word, now Son of Man, now called Son of God. Son of God, form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire. That's God. Brother Brandon called him Elohim. Visit Abraham, visit Moses. I am that I am. What did he say about the Son of Man? They said, are you the Son of Man? I thought the pillar of fire. He said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not he. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. So therefore you have pillar of fire. You see William Branham there. What happens? He reveals the Son of Man. So he, what is he doing? He's actually revealing God in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire, the one standing there. How is it being done? Through the miracles that a man cannot do. Only God can do. Therefore you see him revealed. And when you hear the word, you further see him revealed. So now you know. And you can say, that is that one here. This is true. Now if that didn't happen, no vindication, why believe it? It's up for grabs. Certainly. One word's as good as another. Now, evening lights of the, see, let the evening lights of the Son of God, he that was, and which is and shall become. He's quoting Revelation. Right? First chapter. One like unto the Son of Man. Manifest himself by the prophecy that he's made. What prophecy? Luke 17:30. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Alright? The prophecy he made. Which, Son of God or Son of Man? The whole thing's in there. The Son of Man will be revealed. Does that William Branham? No. That is prophet God. God's his own prophet. How does he deal with the people? Through a prophet, man. How does he deal? He gets in the man. Do you understand? Okay. Now, watch how offices change, overlap, or combine, for he is the never-changing God, just changes his mask. Now, that's very difficult for people to understand. I wish they could understand, because they'd be happy if they did. Now let's take a look at this one. Here's the same one. He said this one is the same one of Revelation chapter 1. He said it's the same one there. He said the picture was taken. But what is he there? Judge. True. Because he is the Son of Man. What's coming from this? Son of Man. All was a prophet. What good would that be without a prophet? We'd still be guessing like the scientists and the astronomers. There's no guess anymore. The prophet said so. He said, well, I don't know if I could take that or not. Well, that's up to you entirely. I, for my own satisfaction, I found that in the Bible. I don't know, trouble. I think you can find AIDS in the Bible, too. 1,000 shall fall at the left hand, 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, providing you don't sneak around. Think you can fool around with those things. You find out you can. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Sheep can be pretty rotten at times. That's why they need salvation. And sometimes you need sheep dip. And a good haircut. You know, get the wool off. Get to the ticks. I said, now I'm ready to pray for the sick. But it's a strange thing how that when we stand here, and here I stand here now making a challenge to the public, and hooked up across the nation, that God still is God. Now, what I've been telling you by his prayer is he's bearing out here again. He said, I'm making a challenge. You thought I was saying about God that you understood and knew all about it. But he said, and yesterday, today, and forever, and these things. But he said, you don't know. There's no way you can know. And that's exactly how it is. Unless he tells them. Now, he's still God. He cannot fail. And what he promises that he'll do, he'll never fail to do it. For he promised to it. Now he's also telling you this. I may know something you don't know. And when I'm telling you, and you don't understand it, and I'm taking you to the scripture, and these various places, then I'm proving to you that I know what I'm talking about, and you now have the faith to receive what I'm saying. So therefore you understand. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday and forever, and these scriptures, these things that I have brought to your attention, which I read over here, they have had a wrong understanding, and at this very hour, people are still troubled with what Brother Branham was actually saying. Now, let's go a little further. And what he promised that to do, he never failed to do it. He promised to do it. Therefore, I can place solemn confidence in what he said. Now, watch. Therefore, I look for his coming. Now, listen carefully. I look for him to appear at any time, because he said, an hour you think not, the world thinks not. Now that's the Son of Man he's talking about. That doesn't say Son of God. That's Matthew 24 and 44. Such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, I said, always that means the prophet. Now, all right, just a minute now. Already that's saying one is judge. Office, judge and prophet, both lie in that one. This has barely manifested. But the prophetic has continuously manifested as the shout.
Amen.
And with the message must come an indictment or a reprieve. Juncture period. Judgment comes after a prophet. Now watch. I therefore look for his coming. I look for him to appear at any time because he said, in an hour, you think not, the world thinks not, then he'll appear. Now, these are statements that if you let yourself go, it'll infuriate you. Because you say, just a minute. I thought he said he had appeared. And what's he saying? He's going to appear. I thought the seventh seal was open. And I said, seventh seal got open. Everybody that has this message preached to them, there's a quandary going on right. Is the seventh seal open? You bet it's open.
Amen.
They're all open.
Right.
The sixth seal wasn't open. How come Hitler was shown to be a part of it? The spirit released at the river Euphrates. Those same devils that were held in Rome, Babylon. It's all part of the landscape, the topography of what's going on. See? Certainly. Okay. Now, let's just find out about his appearing. Just make this in your mind. Now, is it? Now, remember, appearing and coming is two different words, to appear and then to come. Now is he appearing. He's already appeared in these last days. Right here with us in the last few years. Now it's a sign of his coming. He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's he. Because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now, not only appearing in signs and wonders, but personally. Is what Brother Brent said. I read it right in here. He said, when Moses went down, God did not only appear in signs and wonders, but he took him out and showed himself. And remember, brother, God said, I'll never let them see that pillar of fire again. So what did he do? He bypassed that and used a camera. And now we can see it. You are seeing by picture what Israel saw. Or you say, I think there was this. Listen, we don't have the sound effects. We got the sight effects, because I was there many times when I saw Brother Branham do what no man could do except God did it. Paul, listen, brother, sister, I'm witnessing here, up here, and I can witness because I know what I'm talking about. I was with the man. That's why I backed this message far as I know, just as far as I can do it. Now, he said here, now is the appearing. He said, I was not the one that appeared down here. I was only there when he appeared. So therefore, the appearing started way back when nobody even thought anything of it. William Branham, nobody else. Just suddenly, there it came whirling down. June the 11th, 1933. See, that's 52 solid years, isn't it? Well, time's running up. 1946 was another great year. Add 40. 86. Where are we going? I don't know. I'm not worried about dates. All I know is this. Either, as Brother Branham said, this is right, and I agree with him, or look, we will have to believe in the ascended masters. Invasion from foreign space. Because it only happens once every 2,000 years. And I can't wait to find out if it's right. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, the Ascended Master doctrine is entirely spiritistic. Nothing from the Word of God whatsoever. It's not even a good imitation. It's a theory that is remarkably superficial and would only embrace those who are deluded to a very great extent. But as the Word of God said, Paul said it, Brother Branham said it, I read it to you today. When they saw God, they turned Him down. Anything that could be known to God, they turned down. And they reaped the wild, the whirlwind. They get a hurricane because they did not listen to the soft breeze blowing in the tree that attracted the prophet, that he in turn might attract us to the one that's present. He said, I look for Him to appear at any time. Did he mean that night? Sure he meant that night. Sure he meant tonight. Well, I'm going to close now because it's almost 12:30. So we just better close here to paragraph 141. And I'm sorry we didn't get any further, but that's the best we can do until we finish up the pages there. But I felt that there was too many things in here that we ought to go into as strong as we can. Because the more our thinking is set, with the definitive, the greater will be our faith. So let's rise at this time, shall we, to be dismissed. And don't forget, you just got a few minutes to get to your cars and get moving down the road. I give you about 17 minutes. That's plenty of time. We can easily do that. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once more for Your love and mercy to us, the attention of the people You brought here. We love them all, Lord. We might not know everybody here, but we have hearts of love toward them, O God, and sympathy and understanding, Lord, they don't have to believe what I've said, and I know that. But, Lord, I do believe they really have to know and understand and believe what the prophet said. For I'm not vindicated, but, Lord, I can speak as a person who knew the one that was vindicated, just like John could talk about the Jesus who had vindicated him and say, yes, John was right. And I can't come behind Brother Branham and say, yes, he was right. I can't do that, Lord, but I do believe what he said, and I think that I see it in Your Word here. And I believe that what we see and preach is right, Father. And I know that You are here in a way that You haven't been here before. There's nothing can say opposite to that. And You're here, Lord, in the power of the resurrection, and there will be a resurrection. We know that. And we know the trumpet's going to blow to call us to the wedding supper. And we know that's all being done by Him who is here, setting the church in order that the dead might be raised, because they without us cannot be made perfect. And something is going on now. All the events to the rapture are heading up. We believe that, Lord. And I pray to this morning, Lord, there won't be one of us missing. Father, keep us from being presumptuous. We pray, O God, in Jesus' name. Keep us, Lord, humble and meek before You, and knowing Your will, Lord, and walking in it. Help us, Lord, to have the strength to walk in Your will. not the strength of the flesh to walk apart from it. Let us not go out of here having our minds filled with this word, and then immediately disabuse our minds of that word to take it away, for we know that we cannot live without that word, and neither if we do not speak it. Lord, I just don't believe the possibility of us being jewels in your crown could exist without us speaking that word, because you said you hearken to those people at the end time. You're going to spare them. And they'd be the ones that had a knowledge that other people did not have. And it wasn't something, Lord, we know that they got by themselves. It would have to be something that you gave through your ordained channels, because that's how the word all comes together and shows it. And we believe, Lord, we're right there for them, and we thank you. Now, Father, may we, as the prophet said, come to this decision, sink or swim, live or die, this is it. We're going to go on with this word, O God. And Lord, I know we're going to go on with this word regardless. It's just, are we really right in it? Are we believing correctly? Do we see it, Father? Is it a personal revelation to us? Help us, we pray. Heal the sick amongst us, O God. Some of us getting kind of old, and myself, Lord, and my wife and I, we always looking to you for help, Father, and we know that you're not sure to help. And we're only short of help because we're not believing properly. Pray, Lord, that you'll give us your faith. We know that Paul lived by the faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just petition you this morning to give us all the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live like Paul. And then just seeing the truth presented to us, press on into the first resurrection which is coming up. Because we know the great one is here. The great shepherd of the flock, the great king, the great judge, the all in all is here. Revealed himself. Sure, and no doubt by the prophetic way. So, Father, we commend ourselves to you now. Go with us as we go to the restaurant. May we behave seemly and as real Christians. May the food be good for us, Lord. May they have done well, O God. We pray, and may we do well. May we be sure that we are Christians and brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ, behaving ourselves in a manner that will give credit, Lord, to thy great name, not to ourselves as though we're fine, polished people, but that we're just simple, humble Christians who love the Lord and love each other and would do good to all men. Father, keep us from anything that would be wrong in our lives, and just help us to glow as beloved in the Lord, and bring us together again, we pray. I know it's our separate churches, perhaps on Wednesday night, coming together. And then maybe another time down the road, Thanksgiving, for all we know. Perhaps we come together again, I don't know. But Lord, you do know. And we pray, Lord, what you want. That's what we want, oh God, we really do. In ourselves, we don't want anything really too much. Just a little bit here and a little bit there, that's very good. Appreciate that. But Lord, what we really need to want is never before is your will in our hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrims through this foreign land, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Love you all, and see you down there in Pickwell. Let's take the name of Jesus with us.